Thank you. I just wanted to say what a blessing you guys were. I know it was nerve-wracking, but I want to praise the Lord for your hardworking teachers and all the hard work that you put into it. That's not easy. Miss Lindley can't remember two verses in a course. You guys were talking whole chapters and large portions of scriptures and poems, and that's awesome. You did an amazing job, okay? Just so you know, it was wonderful. One day a crowd was gathered to watch the Giants fight. Some shepherd boy named David served God with all his might. They offered him great armor, but he chose a sling and a stone. He said, "You come to me with a sword and a shield, but I come in the name of the Lord." I come. Giant just the same, but again he will deliver if you go in Jesus' name. The odds might be against you and you might feel you can't go on, but just keep the faith of a mustard seed and he will make you strong. The mountains will crumble, giants will fall. I serve a God who
please take your Bibles, if you have one, and turn with me to the book of Matthew briefly. I want to challenge you here in the next few minutes before we dismiss. I want to challenge you with the words of Christ. You know, we've seen a blessing tonight. It's a blessing to me. And I think God's blessed our church by allowing us the privilege of investing in these little lives and entrusting us with the future. We get to have an input in some families, and it's a blessing. And we don't take that lightly. It's a sacrifice. It takes work. But I want to encourage you, it's worth it. You're in Matthew, hopefully Matthew 19. I want you to read the words of Christ. Jesus is teaching. And by the way, when Christ was on earth, I don't think he was grumpy. Kids would not have flocked to him otherwise. I think it's probably fun to be around. It says in verse 13, "Then were there brought unto him little children that he should put his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them." Oh, those spiritual disciples, those guys, you got to love them, right? Their mistakes are always written down. I'm glad mine aren't. They probably are in heaven going, "Man, I can't believe we did that. Look at that. It's written down there. Peter, yeah, it's written about you, you know, poor guy." But look at what Jesus says. Jesus said, "Suffer the little children. Forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." See, as far as Christ was concerned, ministering to children was a great ministry to him. And it needs to be to us. And I want it to be for Independent Baptist Church. You know, you think of the value of young people. What is the value of youth, of children? I think, first of all, they're eternal souls, and sometimes we forget that. The next time you think about the sacrifice, you think about the time. Parents, sometimes it gets long and you get weary. It's difficult being consistent, investing in these little people that God has entrusted you with. You're there in Matthew. Turn over to chapter 6. We invest in all kinds of things. We invest our time. We invest our focus, our talents, our purposes. We invest our money. What truly is important in investing in? What should we really invest in? Well, I want to challenge you that we ought to invest in something that's of eternal value. Jesus says here in the Sermon on the Mount, he says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt. It's not wrong to have things, but that shouldn't be where your ultimate treasure lies. And where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. What we invest in, really, folks, it ought to be something of eternal value. And I would submit to you that there is no greater thing of eternal value than the souls of others. And really, the greatest ministry, quite possibly, that we as parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles have been enlisted in, you are in the ministry of influencing little lives and influencing the next generation. The goal really is to invest in them for eternity. I think of the scripture in Galatians chapter 6. It says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Whatsoever means whatsoever. That's right. And praise God, when we invest in the lives of young people, we reap the reward of godly young people. We want them to have character. We need to invest character. We want them to be respectful. We need to invest in that. We want them to learn God's word and be the next good citizens, the leaders of our country. It's not going to happen by accident. And God's given us the amazing opportunity to share in the lives of these young people you saw tonight. But I'll tell you this, our greatest calling is to influence them, but the best school can only supplement a good home. The best we can do is supplement a good home. Deuteronomy puts it this way. I'm going to turn over there, Deuteronomy chapter 6. This was referenced this morning. Moses was preaching to the children of Israel about the covenant they had with God. God had given them the law there at Mount Sinai, and they had repeated it and built upon that for the Levitical law. And he says this in verse 1, now these are the commandments, the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither you go to possess it. He's telling the nation, he says, you have God's word, okay? God has told you how to live. Now here's what you need to do with it. That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, that thy days may be prolonged. Obeying God's word would give them success in the land. Moses didn't say, hey, nation of Israel, make sure that you leave it up to your kids to decide what way they want to go. You never find that in the word of God. What you do find is God saying, train your children. Train them. Look down at verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. See, good training begins with mom and dad and at home. Teaching the truth of Bible character and ethics and morality. And it's our privilege as a church and a Christian school to help reinforce those and hopefully be an encouragement to the homes that are represented here tonight. These young people, they come from different families, go to different churches, they're connected with us in different ways, but by God's grace, their parents have sacrificed and given us the privilege of sharing a part in the lives of their youth. Children are eternal investments. And really, children are easily influenced. I think that's another important thing to remember. Children and young people are more easily influenced than adults. Now, it can be good and that can be bad. A couple weeks ago, we worked at a soul-winning booth in the Highlands County Fair, and I was able to lead 5 young people to the Lord. 4 of them were teenagers. When people say teenagers, teenagers, they're not going to make decisions for the Lord. Really? They can. See, the truth is, sometimes we think we have to wait longer, but as our awareness of the world grows, you know what else grows? Our cynicism. Adults are cynics. It's hard for us to trust people. I'll confess to you, it's hard for me to trust. It's hard because I'm aware of this and I know the angles and I'm always thinking, what's their angle in this? You know, what's the underlying? Children, they trust things. And that can be a bad thing because the devil seeks to influence our children. The world seeks to influence our children. The scripture was quoted tonight in 1 Peter 5:8. Our adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We know this. But God has called us to influence our children. And it's much better to reach them before the damage is done. It's easier to guide a child than it is to repair an adult. The scripture says in Proverbs 22, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. It's always better to start young. You know, seeing children's ministry as a priority means seeking to influence that next generation for Christ. Children are easily influenced, and by God's grace, thank the Lord. Now, they're not easily raised. That's difficult, right? But we pray that that influence sticks because they have a great potential for Christ. That's the third thing. You know, sometimes folks wondered if children, can young people really make decisions for the Lord? Can they really choose to trust Christ? Well, I don't know. When I read Scripture, there's a lot of young people that God used. You know, young people can reach people that you cannot. Sometimes when I used to go soul winning with Jeremiah when he was little, I'd let him hand the tract to the person at the door. They'll turn it down a lot less from a little kid. Oh, how cute. Sure, I'll take that from you, sweetie. And they'd look at me and go, what are you doing here? I'm with him. Children can reach people you cannot, and that's a great thing. And they have much more life ahead of them than you or I do. And so if we really want to leave our mark on the world, to leave a legacy, it is to pour our lives into these little lives and let them grow beyond us. You know, children can sometimes turn the hearts of the enemies. I think of 2 Kings 5, the Bible talks about a young slave girl. She was taken captive in Assyria, and she told Naaman of the prophet who could heal him. Naaman the Assyrian, a great general, that if any man from Israel had gone there, he would have been killed. If the prophet had gone there, he would have been cast out on his head. But this little slave girl said, there's a prophet in Israel who can heal you. And Naaman listened. And Naaman was healed from his leprosy. God was glorified. A little slave girl. Sometimes children can provide for our needs. Now that kind of turns it on its head because we provide for our children's needs. But I'll ask you to remember the account when Jesus was teaching and there were 5,000 people, 5,000 hungry men, not including women and children. And there was no food. You know who brought the food? A little boy with a lunch. That's right. And he believed just enough. See, we as adults, we would have been cynical. We'd have said, nobody can use this. I'm just going to eat it for myself. I'm going to go behind this tree to make sure nobody mugs me or something. You know what the little boy said? I've got my lunch. You can have it. And God used it. Many a miracle have been due to the answered prayer of a child. Providing victory. You know, who did it take to kill the giant Goliath? Little boy. That's right. Yeah, he knows. Good job, Oz. Sometimes a channel of blessing. You know, young Mary, she was not an adult. She was just a young teenager. A young girl, probably an early teen, godly, led of God. She was willing to be used of God to bring Jesus Christ in the world. How about a missionary to a foreign land? You say, Pastor, surely not. And yet Daniel. Daniel was a youth, probably no more than 15 years old, when he was taken captive to Babylon. He maintained a good testimony. He reached that nation for the Lord. The king, King Nebuchadnezzar, his heart was turned and he worshiped the true God. You know what? Daniel had such an impact in the nation of Babylon that 500 years later, the Magi came in search of Jesus Christ that they had heard of. Where do you think those Babylonians had heard of the Messiah that would come? From the prophet Daniel, most likely. See, children have great potential, and sometimes we forget. I really think the opposite can be said as well. You know, if someone had reached children, some atrocities may not have taken place. If someone had brought a young Hitler to Christ, or a young Kim Jong-il, the young Charles Manson, what would have happened if they had gotten saved, had a good home, been trained up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? And then we begin to realize that in the lives of our young people hinge the future. That's why I thank the Lord for the privilege of influence. One of the blessings here at school that we get to do is not only to teach Bible, but also culture. You heard the young people quoting, heard them quoting poems, literature, science, history. Those things are taught from a biblical perspective so that the young people, they understand the laws of science exist because of a divine creator and lawmaker. God created this world to be studied and understood. We're not participants of a cosmic accident. But instead, God is in control, and true science agrees with the Word of God. They learn that language and literature are used to glorify God, and the Bible instruction just undergirds everything. I ask that you'll pray for our school ministry. You know, here at Independent, we don't have our youth ministry has not grown to the point that I'm praying yet, but we're able to do some things. And pray that God would continue to build, that God would allow us to glorify Him, that we would be an encouragement to the families connected here. Pray that God would continue to bless our school ministry for the remainder of the year. Pray that God would grant us liberty and freedom. We need to expand our facilities. And right now we're struggling a little bit with some of that. So pray that God would give wisdom. Pray that He would give us liberty to expand our facilities. And that we would grow as He sees fit. Pray that God would bless the little people, and not so little. You know, these three right here, they're not little people. The one's almost big as I am, so my son Jeremiah, he rubs that in frequently. Pray that God would bless the families that you see represented here. And then finally, pray about your involvement. Those of you who are members here at Independent, hopefully tonight is a, you know, you get to see the ministries that take place on Sunday, but you don't see the ministry that takes place here during the school week. And I ask that you would just allow your eye to affect your heart so that you would continue to pray for us. We know that you are. God's work wouldn't be successful otherwise. But pray about your involvement, how that you might help as well, if I might challenge you for that. Let's go ahead and close with a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you so much for the evening. We thank you for the dear folks that have come tonight. Thank you for our visitors, those who are visiting this evening, and I pray that this service was an encouragement to them. Lord, thank you for the privilege of investing in the lives of our young people and in just impacting them for you, for your kingdom, for the future. And I pray, God, that we would continue. We would to continue to wisely invest in this just amazing resource. God, I pray that you'd be glorified. Work in our hearts. In your name I pray. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet, heads bowed and eyes closed. Consider what we've seen tonight, what you've heard shared. Our piano will play.